Hello and welcome from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. This podcast you're about to hear was recorded at our Booragoon campus. So sit back, relax, and enjoy what God has to say to you.
Thank you for our team leading us today. Children that are amongst us and teens even so. There's some activities down in the front here over to the side. If you'd like to take the opportunity to grab some of those, it relates to the passage that we're talking about today. I saw Liam, he was out there grabbing a whole bundle, and well done, Grace, saved him from... I thought he was going to go out and pass them out to everyone, he was so keen. But it's great to have you here this morning, and I don't know about bald Billy Graham, but you know, we'll work on that. Thanks, Dan, for that. I have a question for you today. Who's your favourite teacher? Who was your favourite teacher? So, you know, past tense... right now, what made them your favourite teacher? Was it because they were kind of firm but fair? Maybe that was kind of really good at controlling the classroom in that way. Maybe they paid special attention to you. Or they really developed your own learning. One of my favourite teachers was Mr. Proctor. I think he might have even been Dr. Proctor, how good is that? He was chemistry in year 11 and 12, and he kind of wrote some of the state exams and textbooks. He really, this is even in Katanning, which is, you know, you don't expect guys like that to be in Katanning, but he really knew his topic, he knew his stuff, and he had certainty, he had clarity, and he had a really engaging style that kind of carried this authority. And that's something you find with a teacher that you've really appreciated, kind of this carry this authority in their life. And today we're looking at a story that explores the truth that recognizing Jesus' authority awakens great faith. Recognizing Jesus' authority awakens great faith as we continue on our Faithful Life series. So let's read together this little account from Matthew 8. 5 to 13. It's going to come up on the screen. If you want to have it in your own Bibles or on your phone, that'd be great. But when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell you, this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that moment. A wonderful story. We see this story of this centurion, a leader of 100 soldiers. He comes to Jesus in this small town called Capernaum. It was kind of a base of Jesus' ministry. He kind of did a lot of his ministry there and went out from there. And historical evidence points to the fact that there was this kind of compound or garrison of soldiers that was encamped on the east of town. And it's kind of this outpost of this mighty Roman army, empire, that, you know, they're kind of keeping these rebellious Jews jumped up every now and again, kind of keeping a watchful eye on them. And this centurion comes with this request for help for his servant who's been paralyzed, doesn't say why, but he's in a lot of pain. The story draws us into this question about why would this Roman centurion come to this Jewish teacher, Jesus? And it doesn't say directly in this passage, but from surrounding passages, we've got a few clues. There's been these reports seeping out across the land about this guy Jesus, who actually carries this unusual level of authority. A few chapters earlier, we have this sweeping account from Matthew 4 of Jesus' amazing work amongst his people. And we read this, that Jesus went throughout Galilee, which Capernaum is in, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, and those having seizures, and note, and the paralyzed, note in the back of the centurion's mind, and he healed them. Large crowds began to follow him from all around the region. His following was building, and based on the kind of the miracles he was performing, and there was authority over all sickness and demons, and he was proclaiming the good news of this. Well, maybe he saw those miracles, and centurion might have seen them, but also he might have heard about the sermons that Jesus was preaching. We have the Sermon on the Mount from chapters 5 to 7 in Matthew, and right at the end of that sermon, the account of Matthew, he says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. I mentioned before that my favourite teacher was Dr. Proctor, and he's with chemistry, and he kind of carried this authority by knowing his topic really well. There was an alternative at the same time that I experienced, and that was my teacher for economics. Now, unfortunately, she had come from another country, so I think she was just learning 1 week ahead of us about what Australian economics was about. And unfortunately, you know, English is second language. She'd come to rural WA. I think it was a real shock to her system. And so if I was going to rewrite this scripture that we hear about Jesus, it might go like this. When Mr. Proctor had finished saying these things, the students were amazed at his chemistry teaching because he taught as one who had authority, not as the economic teacher. Just like the community across Galilee, Capernaum was abuzz with the stories of Jesus' teachings and his supernatural actions. And this, of a guy called Jesus of Nazareth. His reputation preceded him wherever he went. Although it's not recorded in this early section of Matthew, we actually find later that Jesus is found sort of explaining his own authority. Things like authority to forgive sins and to heal. Authority even over his own life. He says, I have authority to lay down my own life and authority to take up it again. And this kind of this catch-all claim at the end of Matthew that says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Each of these aspects that I've mentioned, the miracles, the teaching, this claim of authority, could have been part of convincing the centurion about Jesus' authority. But there's one part that I reckon it's worth pointing out for us to see what the centurion sees. He saw that Jesus' authority just makes complete sense to him. It's completely obvious. Returning to the story, he comes to Jesus. My servant needs help. Jesus says, do I come and heal? He quickly refuses the offer and says, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. And the centurion is explaining that he's got lots of experience with authority. He's actually a professional in the study and the practice of authority. That's what he does day in, day out. When he receives an order or gives an order, he sees that there is authority in Jesus. Now, the authority that centurion is used to is like a positional authority, authority based upon your position. I'm your boss, so you need to do what I say, which is very common in kind of the military kind of approach. And some of you have actually done national service in your homeland, here or overseas, and you know what that's like. There's no room for questioning that kind of authority. But what the centurion knows about Jesus is not reliant on positional authority, but actually a higher quality of authority that comes from kind of the results of the miracles that are seen and heard around the place, and the respect of his teaching that rings true and cuts through to people's hearts. When the centurion sees true authority, he recognizes it, he makes sense to him, and he acts completely in line with that recognition of authority, asking for the healing of his servant. Now, you think about your own work, profession, or study, something that you're quite good at, and you might recognize this same kind of sense. You know, if you're a builder, you walk into a building like this and you look up to the ceiling and see all the transitions between the walls and the floors and the roof, and you're thinking about how does this place put together. An accountant can look at a balance sheet and they can understand what the health of an organization is. Mums and dads, whether you're in childcare, you know when your child is tired, you know, started rubbing their eyes, their ears. You know this because you see it, you recognize it day in, day out. So likewise, the centurion, when he sees Jesus' authority, he's got his own credibility and authority to say, there's something here that I need to pay attention to. And he says those words, I do not deserve you to come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. He doesn't even believe Jesus needs to come to heal. You can just do it from afar. You've got that much authority. Well, in Jesus' experience, not everyone was convinced by his authority like the centurion was. So Jesus comments, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. So just to get this straight, this Gentile, this non-Jew, this Roman centurion who's here to actually keep this Jewish rabble under control, 4,000 k's away from Rome, has just been given the Ducks Award for faith. He's top of the class. I mean, this would have been shocking for the largely Jewish crowd following Jesus and listening in. And he goes on to extend the comparisons. I say to you, many will come from the east and the west, will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, we don't have time to go into all the detail of what Jesus is saying here, but basically he's saying there's going to be a big party. And there's a whole bunch of people who are not Jewish coming from the east and west of beyond Israel who are coming to join this party. But there are some Jewish, the subjects of the kingdom, who are going to actually miss out. And what's the basis of coming to this party or missing out? It's actually recognizing Jesus' authority rather than looking elsewhere to other authorities. So confrontational was Jesus' claim of authority, the miracles, the teaching that ultimately resulted in his death on the cross. Religious leaders could not get their heads around the fact that Jesus was who he said he was. So it's clear that not everyone just naturally falls at Jesus' feet and worships him. There's a genuine contest of authorities here. But in this centurion, we, at the very point of need of healing for his servant, he saw that Jesus' authority is real and trustworthy. The evidence is in, and it all points to unrivaled authority. Just say the word, my servant will be healed. Such great faith. As I read this story, I believe there's potential for Jesus to actually say something similar to each one of us here today. You have such great faith. Now, why do I believe that? Because the lesson from this account is that the great faith is not reliant on us drumming up faith, but is awakened by recognizing Jesus' authority. You know, we remind ourselves of the centurion's faith credentials. They were very small. He doesn't have all the religious background. He doesn't have a lot of information, but he sees there's something in Jesus that he needs to reach out to. So how do we walk this path of bringing this into reality? The first thing I want to suggest is that we give attention to the stories of Jesus. It's a pretty basic thing, but this book tells us about who Jesus really is, particularly in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the following books as people recount what happened with Jesus. We get to see his miracles, read them. We get to see his teaching with authority, read those. Teaching about his authority. And as we do that, we're doing what the Hebrew writer calls fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the one that begins it, and the perfecter, the one who brings it to completion of faith, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. So maybe you've never explored this for yourself and you're kind of like, oh, I don't know about all this stuff at church. Come back to Jesus. See who he really is. Maybe you've become stunted in your own faith. Come back to the Gospels and read who he's really, and ask God to make it alive to you, just the way it did become alive to the centurion. If you don't have a Bible, please go to the Connect Point, get your details down there. We'll make sure you get a Bible. That's no problem at all. We can give attention to the stories of Jesus, but we can also give attention to the stories of others who have been impacted by Jesus. You know, one of the young adults I was talking to this week, they were seeking to do that, and they asked me the question, why do you believe in God? And I was like, great question. I was like, that's a, you know, very forward in asking that question. And they said, yeah, I ask people that question a lot because it helps me when I'm kind of struggling to understand why should I believe in God. They're trying to build up their faith. Hebrews, once again, it says about building a great cloud of witnesses. The author of Hebrews is actually ahead of their time, weren't they? We talk about a cloud today. It's like this IT cyberspace kind of cloud. It's kind of uploading a whole bunch of stories so that you carry this idea of people who have been impacted by Jesus day to day wherever you walk. Here's a few little clues of where you can get these stories. This series, I think we just come up on the screen, but I've got a few of them here. This has been impactful for our own family. Stories of people who have lived great faith in the past. They've recognized Jesus' authority in their life. Just a few to give you what they might be. This is for families who want to bring this to their children, but it's great for adults too. And one of them, George Mueller, provision for thousands of orphans. That's him there. We've got Corrie ten Boom, a bit more recent, but World War II, forgiveness despite terrible brutality being affected in her life. And David Basel, did I hold the wrong one up? Tiny loans to help people get out of poverty. As you read these stories, you find that these people have found out that they have great faith because they recognize Jesus' authority in their life. Another opportunity, if you're online a lot and you want to hear some testimonies, I can't know if I'm going to say this right, but think of CAFE, so DeLaFe testimonies. And this is kind of YouTube, very powerful sermons. It's not sermons, testimonies. Probably not for the children. There's some stuff in there of people being rescued with some pretty tragic things. But they are wonderful stories. Now, I don't endorse every, I haven't watched them all. I don't endorse all of them necessarily. But there's beautiful action of how God has brought great faith. Can I share one quick story to add to your cloud of witness? From our local situation. We're having baptisms today, but last week Thornley and Honeywood both had baptisms as well. Now, three things we're trying to have happen at a baptism. One, get wet. That's a good part of it. Witnessed in community, and to proclaim something of the story of each person present. Now, this is Awa. She's 18 years old. She came from a very difficult family situation, and one day earlier this year, whilst experiencing kind of the effects of drugs and alcohol, she was on the street, and Awa had a terrible dream that really spooked her, and it made her question her will to live. But even that night, she had another dream that actually directed her to search out a church youth group. to connect with. So Awa, she Googled searched, and the only youth group she could find was Thornley Youth Group. At that time, it was going to work for the time and place that she could get to by bus. So she ends up rocking up to youth group, no parents there. And Harry, the youth pastor, he asks her, you know, how she came to be there, and she shared about her dream. But she was quick to say that, I'm just actually about science and reason. He was like gently trying to say, well, science and reason, and the reason you're here is a dream. So how did they come together? So Awa, she struggled for a while through an up and down journey over the coming months, but she kept being drawn back to Thornley Youth and even the Sunday services and kept bringing her list of questions. Finally, she was able to say that each time she visited that building, there's something about this building that's going on whenever I come here. But Harry was able to kindly say to her, it's not the building. It's Jesus through his people that are in this building that you're coming to know what God is like. So in her baptism last week, although admitting that she still had a lot of questions, she wanted to say that, you know, the move of God through his people, that's something she wanted in her life as well. Extending faith, seeing the authority of God through others. You know, it's another witness to add to your cloud. As we give attention to recognizing Jesus' authority, we will naturally find ourselves with a heart of greater faith each day. And sometimes we can disqualify ourselves too easily about being people of great faith. You know, we kind of look for help and guidance and assistance. We get stuck looking at ourselves, don't we? Our own capacities, you know, I couldn't do it. But Jesus knows we can't do it. That's why he wants us to come to him. That's why he wants us to look to him so that he can do it. That's where the power and authority are. You know, even as I come to preach and do this each time, I get a little bit wobbly and overcomplicated and doubtful. That's my real experience in my preparation. But when I find the authority of Jesus in his word, I get excited about the truth that we can take hold of and we can apply to our lives. You know, when I think about being involved in healing, praying for people for healing, sometimes I'm just like, I just don't think this is possible. You know, and why bother, you know, if it's not going to be possible? But when I focus on who Jesus is, I recognize he's healed many people before. He promises it is possible. He invites people to pray. And even as I start to pray for people to be healed in some way, sometimes it's not actually the physical things that he draws us in to pray about. He pray into their heart and the mind of someone rather than healing over their body. Your faith awakens to new things that he wants to show you. And baptism. I remember my own baptism, taking that step. Leading up to it, it was 3 years that I was thrashing around whether I should do this or not, thinking I'm not good enough. I'm just a hypocrite. Wrong question. The question I should have been asking, and I finally got to that point, was, does Jesus have authority to be called Lord of my life? That's the question. He wants to take me beyond my hypocrisy. He wants to take me beyond that into a public declaration that I am all in, whatever that will look like. I mean, who else on this earth, in this universe, is worthy of our ultimate faith? Who else has the authority that Jesus has? Do you know of anyone? The 12 disciples of Jesus were tested on this point. Is there any greater authority that would draw them to leave Jesus to follow someone else instead? And their response? To who else would we go? Jesus, you have the words of eternal life. We believe and we know that Jesus, You are the Holy One of God. Amen. That is recognizing Jesus' authority, isn't it? I'd love to lead you in a time of response and just a simple activity to kind of visualize kind of a picture in your mind. You might find it more helpful to close your eyes. Children, teens, you can be involved in this as well. I want you to imagine yourself in a room. It could be any kind of room. It could be nothing in it. You could be sitting on a chair. You could be standing. But you're in a room and you begin thinking of a situation in your life that seems impossible or difficult, something that's real to you right now, or an important question that sits in your heart that you'd love to hear an answer from Jesus. Maybe it's a doubt or a frustration, or just a simple need. Just take a moment to see if you can visualize what that might be. Bring that to mind. And as you sit or stand in that room, imagine Jesus as either the physical image of Jesus or the spirit of Jesus entering into that room. That he'd enter that room with all the authority that we've heard about today. The miracles that he's done, the teaching with authority, the claims of forgiveness, healing, authority over heaven and earth. This is the Jesus that has entered the room. What is Jesus saying to you? This is Jesus with all authority. What is he doing? In your mind's eye, is he embracing you? Is he reassuring you? Is he smiling at you? Is he sorting stuff out? Is he asking you to lay down hurts? Is he helping you to cope? Is he showing you new hope? Just take an extra few moments. Keep your eyes on him. What is he saying? What is he doing? Whatever he's saying, whatever he's doing, I'd encourage you to note that down in some way, maybe share with a friend, something you might seek to do after our time together, something that needs action to be lived into with great faith. You know, imagine doing this every day of your life. Imagine what great faith would awaken in us, both individually and us as a church. You know, we would have a whole sea of people living into the vision of Jesus' authority life. It's not for any of our selfish purposes, but the glory of the Father. The fruit of faith is the glory of the Father. We just get to reap the benefits of living an adventure with great faith in a great God. Let me pray. Lord God, I'm reminded of those words in a song that says, because when you speak, when you move, when you do only what you can do, it changes us. It changes what we see and what we seek. Lord, we want to be people that don't live just on our own strength, our own capacities, but we want to recognize Jesus' authority in all areas of our life. And the way that you've spoken personally to us today with what we're facing, we thank you. Lord, if there's more to say to us, we welcome that too. That this might be a habit of our lives, rather than our eyes being fixed on what we can do, how we are going, that our eyes would be lifted to your amazing authority, just as the centurion did that day. Lord, we thank you that you are so good to us. May we live a life that receives your goodness. We pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you for listening. We're going to join together and sing together. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast brought to you from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. Our prayer is that what was said today inspires you and strengthens you in your faith. If you would like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, you can contact the team during office hours on the number you can find on our website at mounties.org.au. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to having your company again soon. God bless.